Hey, everybody, this is Paul Mercurio. Welcome to the podcast. My guest coming up in just a second. Before we get to that, this weekend, December 15th to the 18th, I'm going to be at the Omaha Funny Bone, Omaha, Nebraska. Go to their website, omahafunnybone.com, and use the code Paul, and you get a discount, P-A-U-L, all caps, because you listen to this podcast. My guest, Greek. His name is Greek. He is one of the funniest radio hosts I've ever worked with. He has a really big show down in West Palm Beach, Florida, and it's, how do you explain this guy? Just really funny, really quick, great stories, hilarious life, loves to gamble. This is just going to feel like you're just hanging out with a couple of guys, you know, just chatting it up. So enjoy it. It's really funny. It's hard to explain. You'll have a good time. And check me out, Omaha Funny Bone, December 15th to the 18th this weekend. OmahaFunnyBone.com for tickets. Use the discount code Paul, all caps. Welcome to this week's podcast. I am in, where am I? I'm in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Yes.
With a very, very good friend and one of the funniest dudes I know who is an ex-con. And his name is Greek. He is the host of the Penthouse Show on WZZR down here in Florida in Miami area.
Yes.
Originally from New Jersey. Also host of the podcast Greek at Prime Cigar here down in West Palm Beach. Hey, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, I appreciate you having me. And again, I know you said the money will come. So we'll figure it out later. You know, you'd be a good prostitute. We'll figure out the how much it is in the morning, but that's okay.
Exactly. Greek is homeless, and I'm doing this as a favor to him to help him get on his feet.
And I appreciate it. So far, we got $11 and a box of Oreo cookies. But Rome wasn't built in a day. And I had the pleasure to see your show last night.
Thanks.
And I got to tell you, I was amazed. They pay you. That's what I was amazing.
Oh,
you are so good with bringing people on stage. Mm. I mean this seriously, and just ad-libbing. It's great. And making them feel like their social security number matters.
He's talking about the West Palm Beach Improv where I've been performing, and it's an awesome place. And he came and he brought some friends and his lovely fiance, who's got the nicest Kubrick zirconium ring you'll ever see in your life.
Hey, that was Louie and Boca. Right by the flea market, behind the bowling alley. And you got to go past two dumpsters.
Not dumpster one. Dumpster one is if you want fake pearls. Dumpster two is fake diamonds.
And dumpster three is tube socks. So remember that.
Dumpster four is my CDs for my act.
Yeah, I don't like the whole thing you sell the CDs and everything. What I think they should do, this is my opinion, is when you buy a ticket to a comedian, they charge a little extra, not much, but you get the CD on your way out.
That's not a bad idea.
I really think it'd be great.
Do you know how many people tried to just take a CD
on
that first show? But, and I don't mean like every once in a while somewhere around the country, it's somebody that looks like they would try to do that. But I mean like 50-year-old women, guys like, oh, can I have one of these? I'm like, no, it's a CD. We're selling it. It's only $10, you stiff.
Like, I really think it'd be a great thing. Whatever the price is, they charge a couple more dollars, whatever, and you bill it in, and when you leave, you just saw the show. Obviously, if you like the show, you're entertained.
Yeah.
On your way out, you get the show. It also gives you a chance to more smooth with your audience and the people.
Yeah, but I don't think someone's going to buy because they don't know. Like, unless you've seen me before, you don't know what you're getting. So why do you want to pre-buy?
Well, you don't. It's in the price, like I'm saying. You would say the price of the ticket is whatever. You get price of a comedy show. You get two drinks, and you get the
I guess. But they also look. I'm adorable. People want to meet me after the show. They want to come. They want to hang out.
Well, that's why I think it'd be great. That's already done.
It gets in the way, is what you're saying.
I'm saying. Yeah. You talk to everybody, and then you'd be just done and trying to do it. I think it'd be a great way to move somebody's CDs.
What are you rolling your eyes about? Listen, I had two shows, and I sold four, and two were returned.
Nice.
Half hour later, they said, we listened to this in the car. Not a big fan. I want my money back.
The place was packed.
I know.
I thought I walked into my wake.
I can only wish.
I said, look at his crew.
I have a lot of relatives down here.
No, it was
so
great.
How did you end up down here? You grew up in New Jersey. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in the northern New Jersey, lived in the city for years, and had some people that I
knew. You're Greek and Italian.
Greek and Italian.
Your father's Greek, your mother's Italian?
Yes. And
did you work in like a family business or anything? I want people to get to know you a little bit.
No, my dad was in the record industry.
Oh, right. Yeah. Tell them what they did. You told me about this.
My dad was with Polygram Records for years. And had a very good job. My dad just passed last year, by the way.
Yeah.
And my mom was a housewife.
Yeah.
You know, taught me a lot of things in life that were important about, you know, life and love. And she always told me, all the whores of all the luck. Your father was a whore master, but a great provider. You know, things that you get culture.
get the money up front.
Yeah. Every time I went to go see, my parents were divorced at a young age, and I remember the last time, I think I heard this 11,000 times when I walked out of the house to see my dad. Get my check!
Are you serious?
I mean,
but you think your mother would want to shield you from that to give some perception that your
not.
Father
He's
wasn't
got
a
scum. It. And it was the same check every week, and it was a great check. My father, God bless him, took care of us, soup to nuts.
Yeah.
Which he would always say, you think he would give one extra zero? I'm like, but it's court thing. Comes from the courts. I don't think he's going to throw an extra zero.
Exactly. You know, I'm feeling generous.
Yeah, and my dad was great, great role model.
What did he do in the...
He was vice president of distribution for Polygram Records.
Wow, that's a big job.
Yes, he had
so
a big
he
job.
Must have been like, he all the parties, that was almost like the Mad Men era, right? Like,
yeah, a little bit older than that. He got out when Brofman ended up buying for Seagram's.
Yeah.
I had a card to get me in every arena in the country.
Did you really?
Which was very cool.
Oh, with
you
friend?
Know, the press section. That's all gone now.
Man.
Yeah, but it was cool with girls and stuff.
Yeah. You need it.
Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah. Plus paying them. I paid a girl one night and she goes, by the way, Greek, I'm free. My dad was great, though. His part of teaching me about life was I was in front of Barney's at 11 years old.
And people don't know, Barney's is a high-end retail clothing store, big store in New York City.
High-end. It's all over now, L.A.
Yeah.
And there was a woman yelling at this guy.
You're 11 years old.
I'm 11 years old. And I used to get dropped off every week at Barney's, and my dad would come in, take me for the day, and then they'd bring me back to Jersey. So this guy's getting yelled at. You know, you're a kid.
Right.
And I used to go to his place, Caps. It was a luncheonette next to Barney's. And they had a Roger Maris picture on the wall with an egg stain. And I used to always say, why don't they take the picture down? Like, I'm 11, right? So the woman's yelling at the guy. You feel for the guy. You know, you see those situations where the guy's getting ripped up?
Yeah. Is it his wife? You think it's his wife?
I don't know who it was.
And it's right on the sidewalk. That's
right
what I love about New York.
Yeah, right above. And I said to my dad, I'm like, Dad, what the hell's going on there?
Yeah.
He goes, don't ever forget something. They're all whores, and they're never happy.
Did he really say that to you at 11?
And I looked at him. I go, really? He goes, yeah. I said, what about mom? He goes, even your mom. Get in the cab. 20 minutes later, we're by Yankee Stadium. So that was my culture. My mom said all the whores have all the luck. My dad said they were all whores. So for the next 10 years, I started figuring out, you know, looking around for whores of luck. I said, this is going to be great.
This is
awesome.
You'd be like 90 and never, you're not in a relationship. You're like, what happened? Well, maybe it was that incident at the front of Barney's at 11. But were you, that's like you get, I think in that era, like when you're a kid, you kind of get, you hit maturity faster because like people talk to kids like that. Now everything's very protective.
Oh, yeah.
And like, you know, I can't see anybody, like if somebody's, you know, I don't know, 38 or 40 and they got an 11-year-old kid, I can't say, they'll go, you know, they try to keep it separate and the hostility and all that stuff. Did your parents meet in the record industry? How did they meet?
Oh, no, they met years ago before that. So I think that...
So what did your mother... What do you have in your personality from your mother, and what do you have in your personality from your father?
I think my mother is very outgoing.
Yeah, you are. To the point where you're annoying.
Yeah, and so is she. love you, Mom. What time is it? 1:18? Oh, she's just getting out of her cell right now.
She's having vodka and watching one of her stories.
She got caught for illegal bingo tickets at a Sea Caucus. It was a big ring, though. They racked in like 80 people. So her name was at the bottom of the article. Very outgoing, knowing everybody, like the mayor. My dad was reserved.
My dad was like that. My mom was like your mom.
Yeah, my dad had a very hard upbringing. He waited in line in the Depression.
Oh, really?
You know, tough. You know, my dad always said, the only line you wait in is at the track.
Boy, your dad was a hard ass.
Oh, yeah, he was good. Oh, I worked for my dad. He was brutal. One of the toughest days I ever had with my dad was...
He grew up in New York or New
York,
Jersey?
New Jersey.
Okay, so they both grew up in Jersey.
Yeah,
but he came out of the Depression. How old was your dad? Was your dad when he passed away?
88.
Okay, so he's exactly my mother's age.
Yeah, passed last October.
Yeah.
He retired 74. But there was a lot of times over the years I got, you know, static and stuff and things. So yeah. My dad had a secretary, Joan Monet. Still remember her name. And I used to tell her, you know what? Your name should be a perfume. Joan Monet. It sounded like a glove, you know?
And she's like, look, get your creepy little hands off my thigh and go sit down.
Yeah, that's what I said to her. So anyway, I used to always tell her, be nice to me. You're not getting a raise. Things were so bad, I used to have to say I was my brother. Steve, to get him on the phone.
To get your father on the phone?
Oh, he would never pick up for me.
Why?
He knew it was thousands, problems, issues, Vegas.
Oh, with you.
Yeah. So he's got I'm in a city one day, and this is going back like in the 90s, but I'm not a kid.
Yeah. So, you're working.
Yeah, I'm working.
What are you doing?
I was in a dry cleaning business, had a bunch of dry cleaners and stuff like that, and I'm doing a little radio at the time and some stuff, and maneuvering.
Yeah.
So she calls me on my phone. Joan, and she says, hey, if you got a chance, stop by and see your dad. My dad had an office at Worldwide Plaza. I believe it's still there.
Yeah.
He had a long, you know, you go up the hall, elevator, long hallway with all the records things. And
right.
So I walk in and I see Joan. I go, hey, Joanie, what's happening? She goes, he's not in a good mood. I said, what's wrong? She goes, I don't know, something about the Knicks. So I'm like, the Knicks? He don't bet.
Let me back up. So his assistant calls you to
his
come.
His secretary.
His secretary calls to have you come because he's upset about the Knicks.
Yeah, something about that. So I go to Knicks. He don't bet. So now you ain't missed a foul shot? So I'm walking down the hall, and it's a long hallway, and I'm thinking of everything. So the previous May, this is like October or November, I had courtside seats to the Knicks and Bulls. I sold them for $7,000. So some Asian guy on Wall Street. So I told him, I said, if you meet anybody, you got to say your blank son, if it is. And now I'm totally not thinking that. So
wait, back up. So just so I love this sort of maneuvering. You were given the tickets for free.
Yeah.
And you turned around and sold them for $7,000.
For $7,000.
And the tickets came from your father.
Yeah. And
you're an asshole.
I ended up going to the peninsula, getting a hot fudge sunny with this girl. We had a great time. And I bet the Bulls, everything worked out. So anyway. I sit down, and my dad had a way of pinning you so bad like a bull.
Yeah.
Hey, how's your day going?
Oh.
You know, and you're
like,
fine.
Like a lawyer, he sucks you in, right?
Yeah, I went to Barney's, had lunch at Nello's, got to get a pedicure in about 2 hours. What do you got going on? Just want to ask me how my day was. And I spun around his chair, and he's like, I go, how was your day? And then he stopped my chair. He goes, I'll tell you how my day was.
Oh,
I had an associate come to me and ask me what it was like to marry somebody from Vietnam because he's met somebody on a cruise and he's thinking about marrying her. And my child seemed to be sort of, adjusting to it. And they want to have children. He goes, what do you think I said? I said, I don't know. I said, do you know anything about that? He goes, what are you doing selling Nick tickets to this Asian kid?
I said, first, you.
My defense, 6 months ago, statute of limitation. Just saying, I had you in for a piece. I said, I had you dinner at Rusty Stobbs. He wanted to kill me.
Oh,
he wanted to kill
God,
me.
God, that's so classic. And you're like, ha. The chances of him finding out, literally on a cruise, a guy comes up to him?
No, it was a gentleman who worked with my dad who went on a cruise, met a woman from Vietnam, and was going to get married.
Mm-hmm.
So he said to my dad, I met your son. How was it for your son growing
oh,
up?
Oh,
you
my
know, because,
God,
you know, inter, you know different
so
countries
funny.
And everything like
but
that.
But it is kind of a scumbag movie. He gives you free tickets and you turn around and sell them. And
we got overhead.
So were you like the one always in trouble? You have a brother.
Oh, my brother was perfect. Yeah, I was always in trouble.
Just the two of you?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but you were the one. Phone call comes in. It's the Greek. It's Greek. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I used to come down the escalator at the airport. I used to have dad and how much I needed on the other side. I kid you not.
What does your brother do?
He's a therapist. He wrote his thesis on me.
Did he really?
Yeah.
And what was the?
My brother is different. That's what he wrote, and he explained a lot of different things about me. So it was a very. I've been blessed with great parents.
Along with your brother?
Great guy. Is he
reserved?
Oh yeah, he was afraid of my dad to the end.
Yeah.
He had a problem one time with his roof. And so he calls me up. He goes, is Dad coming in? I said, yeah. He goes, I hate borrowing money. I got to ask him for some money. I go, dude, I got it. I got you. I said, I can even give it to you. And he,
you want some Knicks tickets too?
It's great. It's great. So I go, I got to pick him up at Newark Airport. So my dad changed planes a lot. So when he did come in, he wanted to see us, even if it was for a cup of coffee. He didn't want to hear it. You know, you got time for these girls. You got time for this. Yeah. You make time for me. Good. And it was always my pleasure. Mm. So he's changing planes. So my brother says to me, I need like about $4,200 to fix the roof. He goes, and which my brother was a little bit shocked. I could have just gave it to him. So I said, no, I'll talk to Dad.
You're doing the dry cleaning business at the time?
Yeah. And I'm in dry and I'm starting radio, different mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'll help.
Maneuvering.
You. Yeah, maneuvering. Yeah. So I'll help him
you
out.
Spend the time in alleys.
Yeah, stuff like
on your
that.
Knees.
You know, stuff like that. Laundromats, you know, professional things. See, I was doing XR chicks before it was CR chicks. So we're walking in Newark Airport now on the runway. He's catching another plane and it's snowing. Little, you know, not heavy snow, but enough. He's catching another plane. He's got to go to Ohio.
Wait, is it a private jet or something?
Yeah, he was flying and he landed and he had to go.
He flew private jets sometimes. Like music. Oh, yeah, so, wow.
Not all, but you know, or is there a charter jet? Maybe 10, 12 guys. Yeah. He goes, what's going on? He goes, I got much time. Great seeing you. What's up, kid? I said, look, little problem with Steve. I really don't want to bring it up. I said, but yeah, you know how he is with you. He's a little upset. Now, my brother needed $4,200. Right. So
your
I said,
your brother is Steve.
Yeah, he said, I said, look, he's a little jacked up. He wants to know, can Joni write him a check? He goes, yeah, no problem. Whatever he needs. He goes, what's he need? I said, I don't know. I think $9,300.
It's scumbag.
He goes, I kid you not. He stopped, flicked his cigarette, looked at me and goes, now the snow's coming down. He goes, you ever lie to me again, you're done. Your brother would never need $9,300. I know you got a taste in there for yourself. I said, I took a shot.
That's awesome.
I said, I took a shot. I knew I should have stayed in the 7 range.
You probably spent the whole ride out there going, how high should I go?
I should have had an estimate.
And I know you did 93 thinking it's not 10.
That's right.
It's close to 10. Yeah. It's like that 59.99 people doesn't think.
I should have. I took a shot. I was like, damn, I took a shot.
So, you've been maneuvering since you were like.
Oh, forget about it.
What is it? But so is that just born in you? I mean, I think there's certain, like I'm different from my brother. I'm different from my sister.
Boredom. I don't find life challenging. I hope the next step's a little better.
When you go to communion when you were younger and you get the wafer, would you negotiate with the priest?
I was an altar boy.
You were not.
Yeah, I was. And I thought it was a scam. And I said to the priest one day, why don't we charge everybody for when we hand them out? He looked at me and goes, what is wrong with you? I says, what is wrong with you? You're drinking 9 bottles of gin. I was the one who first thought the Catholic Church should bring in different colors instead of black all the time. Every day black. What are we, the Raiders? Can we bring in a different color every once in a while? Versace was in my era, we would have been okay.
Black and white. I like it. I went to Providence College. That's my colors.
Oh,
black
yeah, Friars.
Friars.
Ernie DeGregorio.
No, I...
Marvin Barnes.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you this story. I grew up in Providence, and I would go to the Boys Club. I lived at the Boys Club. It was a way, I think, my parents to kind of, you know, kids are in my neighborhood always getting in trouble, getting in fights, blah, blah, blah. So I'd go, just go. You spend your time there. And I was a swimmer.
Which is great.
I loved to swim, yeah. And Ernie D would work out there. And Ernie D was the hero for kids like me.
Number 15.
Especially Italian kids. Yep. He made it. Like, he made it.
Is
right?
that impressive? Nothing in front
God.
Of me.
This is unbelievable. Marvin Barnes. How about that Final Four where he's hobbling down?
Oh,
right?
yeah.
So, do you know the story about Marvin Barnes, how stupid he was?
Yeah, with the airline. I'm not getting in no time machine.
Yeah. tell him.
From what I remember, he was in the NBA at the time, or the ABA with the St. Louis Spirits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was catching a plane, and he didn't understand the whole thing at a time zone difference. And then they were trying to explain to him, and he's like, I'm not getting in no time machine.
He was a PC. I think he might have been a freshman or a sophomore. And he gets on a bus. Somebody gets on a bus.
Yeah.
With a mask on, and pulls a gun out and holds up the bus driver and people on the bus for money.
Yeah.
Cops come to take a police report, and they go, "Can you describe the guy?" And they go, "Yeah, he was about 6'9", black, and his name was Marvin. How do you know that? Because he had his Providence College jacket on.
Are you serious?
It said Marvin on.
Oh my God.
And you know, it got swept under the rug because he was a big star at the thing. So Ernie D would come to the Boys Club and work out in the gym. And he would have three of us. Okay, I need three of you. Come over here. And we were little. And he one of his drills is he would dribble full court, and the three of us had to try to steal the ball for him.
It's amazing. He was unbelievable.
Six
passes.
Little hands like this. Then he go, all right.
Like a girl at a Gucci sale in Boca. Those are my sevens. Nobody gets them.
Nobody gets them.
Stay away from me, Diane. Watch your elbows.
Hands are funny. I want to see your hands. Then he would go, all right, pick a cinder block, you know, cinder block walls. And you pick a cinder block, and he'd get like 50 feet away, and he'd throw behind the back passes and hit that cinder block every time. Like
amazing.
100. Like,
wow.
Unbelievable.
What a story.
Yeah, it's like, and so
he wasn't a tall guy either.
No, he was 6'1".
Yeah.
But he had these drills, and he would just, and I could just remember sitting, like, he'd just shoot, and one of us would just, you know, get the ball when it comes through the net, and then back, and he'd just shoot, and he'd just shoot, and he'd just shoot, and he'd shoot from him. And he worked on his mid-range game, which nobody works on anymore, you know?
He was
and then,
awesome.
And then he went and played for the Celtics, and, you know, when he got money from the NBA, he built this, like, house in the northern part of Rhode Island, like
oh, that's
nice
little
Lincoln, like a stone. And my father, I said, Dad, let's go see Ernie D's house because it was being built. And it was like this stone mansion. And
okay.
It was like the kid from the neighborhood
made
you know,
it.
Who made it.
Oh, it's always a great story.
Yeah. And then he played for the Celtics, which was like perfect.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just like, and nobody else, you know, hey, PC was ahead of his. There was a Joe Mullaney was the coach of the Providence College Friars in the 50s. And that was one of the basketball programs in the country before college basketball became a big money business.
UCLA,
and
60s.
Then Dick Gavitt and Dick, he was the one that started the Big East. But then what happened was Providence College could not compete with the campuses of like these universities.
Yeah.
So like we couldn't recruit the way other places. But a lot of people don't know like that was the hotbed. That was like the origin
oh,
of
yeah.
like big time basketball. So.
I remember going to Big East tournament
yeah.
all the time. I remember in the 80s with St. John's
yeah.
and, you know, Berry and,
oh,
you know,
God.
Mullen and
yeah.
Ewing and all the great teams.
Yeah. It was great. And
Pitt,
I
mean, all of them.
And it's like, it's come back now, but it's never going to be like it was like
no.
before it like got whatever.
Well, that one year they had three teams in a Final Four.
Yeah.
That'll never happen again.
Exactly.
And they had Villanova, Georgetown, and St. John's.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It
yeah.
was great.
And then
I remember
it just got
going to Garden.
Oh, it's still one of the best places to go. When the Big East tournament comes there, it's great. Why did you go into radio? Why did you start to do that?
I was very good friends with Joe Hollander, who was the CEO of Westwood One.
Oh, okay.
And him and I, just like you, seriously, just started becoming friends.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, you know what? I think you got a great knack to be on the radio
yeah.
and want to try out some things.
Do you get bored easily? Because you seem like you jumped from thing to thing until you found this.
No, just when I talk to you.
Wow.
Sometimes when I'm in meetings with management, I'm like, okay, let's connect the dots.
Boy, I hope you die.
No, Joel's great. Like I said, a mentor always helped me
yeah.
and just thought that, you know what, whatever it is, he thought I had it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he opened a couple doors for me years ago, and I came down here. And
So why down here? He just happened to have a station down here where they needed somebody that nobody's going to listen to? I got a station that gets like four listeners. You'd be good there.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. We were actually going for a set more than I have in my NFL football pool. That, by the way, I am trying to promote right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
$1.50 a week.
Go ahead.
No, I came down here with a girl at the time.
Oh.
So she came down here, and I decided. I love Florida. I was
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
What's
yeah.
not to like when you're in Northeast?
Yeah, exactly.
I like Miami. I like Lauderdale,
yeah.
Palm Beach.
Yeah.
I came down. I ended up 1999. I was on the beach.
You fit in. You kind of look Cuban.
Yeah, it's good. Not bad. Throw some cigars. That's how I end up at Prime Cigar now. It all ties
right,
in.
Right. Anyway, and, he's a roller in the back.
It's not bad. Actually, I went. Have you? No, you do you like cigars a little?
I do, yeah.
Okay, because I got into them, obviously, with Prime Cigar, and
yeah.
I'm very good friends with them. So I went to a cigar factory, actually, down in Miami. It is unbelievable to see them rolling them. I mean, hand rolling. And it was one of the cigars.
Are they Cubans who are rolling them?
Yeah, it was one of the companies that just got Cigar of the Year out of Cigar Aficionado magazine a couple years ago.
What company?
I think it's Father and Son.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big company. But I mean, just to see the cigars
yeah.
actually, it's
yeah.
unique.
Yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
mean, they're probably working 37 hours a day
yeah,
and busting
exactly.
their ass. You know?
And you're like, hey, that doesn't look right. I'll re-roll that.
Re-roll it. You know, they all had those things on their backs that Shaq sells, those little bands. I see the posters of Shaq in the corner. I'm like, oh, Shaquille, all right, that's cool. Everybody's got to get a taste. But it was just unbelievable to go there, you know, and to
yeah.
see it be, you know,
yeah,
and, again,
yeah.
and the pride And, you know, the, you don't see that, I think, with a lot of people doing stuff today.
Yeah. Well, it is an art to roll in those
things. Oh, no doubt about it. But I'm saying, like, it's got to be perfect. You know, it's when I go to Vegas, I always stay at the Wynn Casino.
Mm-hmm.
I love it there. I love Steve Wynn. I think I love what he does. But everything to the T is perfect.
Yeah,
I mean, every nook, the flowers, I mean, detail. Yeah. You don't see that.
No, exactly. He's no Donald Trump, though.
No, he's no DT.
Donald's your man, right? You're going to vote for him four times over, right?
Oh, Trump, one thing I would say, people don't like him, I understand, or do like him. I'm not pushing for anybody, but he has changed politics. You never saw ratings like he brought in. You never saw people voting the way they are. The polls are early. There's lines.
Yeah.
Here.
It's so funny to hear him bitch about the media, the liberal media bias. When he was riding all that media during the primary and getting all of that free, he never bitched once.
The minute it goes south,
he reminds me of you. The minute something goes wrong, he blames everybody else and wants to leave.
Absolutely.
The show tanks because you don't know how to have a conversation. Well, there's something wrong with the mic.
I'm are you kidding me?
You stole Greek's line. Greek always says that when
he's
like,
No. I bet Trump offshore the day he had the first debate and he was there and they were.
Where'd you meet him?
No, I said I bet him offshore at a book place because that first debate he had everybody, it was like 16 of them, and they were at Bush in Houston or something at the airport.
Mm.
And he looked at everybody and everybody's on. He goes, I gave everybody money on this stage and every one of you took it.
Right.
As soon as I saw that, I picked up the phone and they all stepped back. He goes, and don't tell me they don't.
Right, exactly.
He is a real guy.
He is. Here's the thing.
He
and
just
I say
makes
that,
so many mistakes.
Yeah, I think that the Pandora's box, in a good way, is open. I think people do want change. They don't want the typical, you know, inside the beltway guy. The problem is, and he could have been the guy. The problem is where he lost me was he didn't want to try to know anything about what you have to do for the job. Like, and I think Americans can be forgiving and understanding and go, if he just says, look, he can't be humble because he's so insecure. He's so thin-skinned. So he can never admit a flaw. It's like Greek mythology, right? So if he had just said, look, at the beginning, I don't know a lot about this job, but I'm good at running things and I'm going to learn and I'm going to surround myself. But the arrogance of not even wanting to try to learn. Like, you don't stand up there and go, I know more about ISIS than generals. You don't do that. That's just like, to me, like a doctor. And I've talked about this, like, it's like he's a doctor in an emergency room and they wheel you in and he looks inside, you're all cut open from a motorcycle accident, he looks inside and he goes, oh,
you shouldn't have got on that motorcycle.
Right, exactly. What's all that red stuff in the body? Well, that's blood. Oh, what's that thing that's moving? That's the heart. What does the heart do? Don't you think, you're a doctor, you should know. Why are you attacking me? You're the liberal media. Are you a mother? Like, you can't do that. And so I always say, like, he is like, he got America in bed as the new kind, right? And he got our bra off and he doesn't know what to do with the boobs.
But I think the thing with Trump is this, is that he's never been a guy his whole life. He's been very successful, but he gets people. He doesn't know how to hammer a nail. He gets somebody. So he figured, I think in his mind, first of all, I'll do the same thing that's worked.
Right.
Just like in sports.
Right.
We're 8-0, we ran. Game 9, we run.
Right.
I'll get elected and I'll just hire the best people.
Right.
I also think he's not a real politician because he's the golden rule. He can say and do whatever he wanted. All the Clintons and everybody else, they're taught, the mic's always on.
Right.
You got to watch what you say.
Right.
We saw it a couple years ago down here with Romney. He was running for president. He was at an event in Boca and the mic was on. He said a couple things.
47%.
Yeah. I mean, you got
that
no
was
problem.
Down here, right? I
yeah, yeah.
It was down
but
here.
I'm saying you, the politicians know that's always on. Trump didn't care.
Right.
Everybody was kissing his ass. Even that kid who got fired. What was his name?
Bush. Corey Lewandowski?
No, the kid who did the interview with him on Entertainment Tonight.
Billy Bush.
I mean, Billy Bush was just trying to get an interview. I mean, he's not a guy like you.
No, what Billy Bush was doing, which is what, you know, we know guys like that. Billy Bush is a sycophant, and it's like Donald Trump's the big guy.
Yeah.
And he was like, he was the big swinging dick on the bus. Yeah. And Billy's going to laugh. Hey, boss. He's going to laugh at everything
awesome.
He said. Yeah, hey, boss. Hey, boss. Billy, bend over and take Jello in your ass. Okay, boss.
Yeah. If he said
flavors.
To Trump, I don't think that's politically correct.
Right.
Trump would have took off his mic and said, goodbye.
Right.
Don't clean my rims.
Right, exactly.
So it's over.
Right.
I mean, but I think Trump says stuff that some people think.
Right.
Ari Gold and Entourage. That's what happens.
Right.
You take out the girl all night, buy her dinner and drinks. Right. The movie star comes over at 2:30 and bangs her. I mean, it's just life.
But it's okay. It's one thing to sort of not be on script like politicians are. But, you know, I always say if I could ask him one question in a debate, I'd say, look, I stay in hotels all the time. I know, and I've been to resorts, and you're building a new resort, and I don't know anything about building a resort, Mr. Trump. I've never done it before, but I want you to give me
The blueprint.
to let me run the project, a $1 billion project. I know nothing about it, but I have opinions. I have opinions about what bathroom mirrors should be like and what kind of wallpaper there should be. Let me run it all, and I'll let you know when it opens. Would you do that? And he'd go, you're out of, he'd say to me, you're out of your fucking mind. And I say, then why do you think you should do that with the United States of America? That's the problem.
Sure.
Now, he might get in, who knows? I mean, although he only plays to his base and he can't get anybody else, but I just think, like,
Could you imagine no
there's
November
a guy
9th?
out there. What's that?
November 9th, he wakes up and he goes, I won. I
Exactly.
said it was rigged. Are you kidding
Right,
me?
there's a great article in the New Yorker, right? Like about 6 or 8 months ago, like it had come just after I like he did the Mexicans are rapists, and then he did McCain. He did all these things, and the article, it's a comedy piece, but it's really funny. He goes he in the articles he comes into his office and he goes, look, we need to re-up for the Celebrity Apprentice, but my brand is down, and I want to have leverage for money. So I think I'm going to run. Say I'm going to run for president because
yeah.
I don't want to be president. I'm going to run,
yeah.
and it'll get my name out there. And the guy goes, well, how do you know me? How are you going to make sure that you don't end up having to actually be president? He goes, don't worry about it. I got it covered. And then he goes out and he says Mexicans are rapists. And he comes back and he goes to his guy, how's it look? He goes, well, seems like some people actually liked what you said. He goes, what?
Really?
And he goes, all right, I know what I'll do. And then he goes and he insults a POW war hero, and he comes back and he goes, what, really? And it's up again.
Oh yeah.
And by the end of the article, he's like, what the fuck do I have to do? And he's throwing shit at his assistant because he can't get him. And it's like,
yeah.
And I do think, you know, I think he probably surprised himself.
I think so too.
I think he figured, you know, I'll make it through seven. Maybe I'll make it to be like the eighth or ninth guy in the primary,
yeah.
and then I'll drop out.
Yeah.
And he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's amazing though. Like a lot of times with people, even like when you see like celebrities, people always ask, not like yourself, because I know you do, when they get tweets, do they tweet themselves, even ball players,
yeah.
rap stars, or they have somebody, Kardashian, whatever.
Yeah.
So there was a guy, and I'm sure you're familiar with this story, that was on Apprentice. So I guess they asked him in the city, what do you think of Donald as a president? He goes, I like Donald. He said that, but I don't think he's presidential material. Trump, like 3:30 in the morning, tweeted him, you live home with your mother in Queens. Who would do that? You know, that's why you live home with your mother.
Right.
You're a loser.
But here's the reason.
And it was Trump.
Right. And you know that he writes that
yeah.
one because an intern's not going to – you could just hear him fucking throwing something
oh,
against the
brutal.
Wall. It's like – and that's the part that's refreshing. But I've been saying, look, the numbers are still showing he's not going to win. There is a person out there who needs to take everything that Trump is doing except going to crazy town,
of course.
Right? Just talk real,
yeah.
say the three things that are wrong with America over
yeah.
and over again, and just pull back and not attack war heroes
yeah.
and not attack.
Oh, he did it so many times.
Like, I don't know why, if I were one of these women that he allegedly sexually harassed, assaulted, whatever.
One girl I do know.
And he's saying, oh, they're lying. It never happened. I would fucking file a defamation suit against him so fast.
He says he's going to.
And no, against him. Mm-hmm. Against him.
Oh, okay.
For saying that I'm lying.
You're right.
Fuck you. And then make him go into discovery and expose everything about him.
So
like
what does
Bill
that
Cosby.
Tell you?
So I don't.
Because they got the best reputation in the world. They got the chick with the clown face. And she wears the Gloria Vanderbilt knockoffs that she buys in Seacorp because her jacket's...
Gloria Allred?
Yeah. She wears yellow and black.
Know.
What are you, a pirate? Get some clothes. Call Barney.
She's a mascot for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Who dresses her? Oh, my... She got her earrings for an Ocho Cinco. Come on. A little less makeup. Do me a favor. My God, I'm looking at Lucille Ball.
When she told when she smiles, like chunks of makeup just fall off her face.
The last girl that had a claim, Jessica Drake, who was a porn star,
yeah.
Was on our show a few times.
Mm.
I know her.
Mm.
I actually had lunch with her, excuse me, and she's very nice. I haven't talked to her, but I mean, again, like you said, it would make you to think, like, if somebody said something.
Yeah, the only thing I could think is, like, maybe they feel like it's all out war with this guy, and they don't want to drag. They got family now, and they don't want to drag themselves through this. But like, I look. Remember when he said that the day that the bus thing came out, he was going to have an explanation, and
yeah.
he never did.
Yeah.
So he just blows a lot of smoke up people's ass,
oh,
right?
Yeah. What's
like I'm
going to
sue this person. I'm going to sue that person.
Yeah,
I'm going to
yeah.
sue that. And Lawrence Tribe, who's a great constitutional lawyer at Harvard Law School,
nice.
Along with some other guys, said if Donald Trump sues any of these women, I have already put together a team of the best lawyers in the country to work pro bono for free to defend these women. This guy is a fucking bully, and you're not supposed to use the law to bully people into shit and to bully people into being quiet. So he knows, like he just...
Well, most people get very
intimidated. He's not going to go through with it, but he keeps all these people on his side.
Oh, yeah, after the election, you might not even hear from him.
But, you know, there are people, like, once... Like, here's a great story for me, right, that I think... Once somebody wants somebody or likes something, you have to move heaven and earth to get them off their conviction about somebody, right?
Of course.
So Buddy Cianci was the mayor.
They're all in.
Yeah, right? So Buddy Cianci was the mayor in Providence, Rhode Island. And I don't know if you know about Buddy, but he was like this little Napoleonic guy, like this little 5'2 guy, you know, a little taller than you. And chubby.
I'm taller than you, which is amazing. My bishop to
you.
You
don't like it when I joke about your height, do you?
No, it's fine. It's fine. I don't mind. If that's all you got, bring it. I come with stronger stuff.
Oh, you can't take shit.
I get beat up all day. I feel like Mike Tyson's punching bag. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. It's not my fault. You have, like, it's not my fault you have frosting on your shoes from coming off a wedding cake. So... So Buddy would wear like his parents were well off. His father was a prominent doctor in Providence, Rhode Island, and he wore a bad hairpiece and he became mayor. Incredibly charismatic. Mm-hmm. He spoke at the Republican National Convention in the late 80s. He was tapped for national fame. Like he was big, right? Which is big coming out of Providence, Rhode Island. It's another city, right?
It's only bookmakers.
But he became it's hookers and grinders. That's
and
all it is.
And loan sharks. Hey, what's your rate this week? Wells Fargo has.
It's my cousin Bobby. My cousin Bobby would run numbers in the back was a woman's shoe store.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and he would sell stuff out of the trunk of his car. I think I told you.
Oh, yeah.
And he would come to the gas station. My friend's gas station. My friend would pump gas for extra money. He goes, hey, your cousin Bobby was here. He goes, yeah, what was he doing? Oh, he was selling stuff out of the trunk of his car. What do you have? Well, this week he had suits, ratchets, and he had car alarms that he stole out of other people's cars.
At least he was an entrepreneur.
He was generating.
I used to bet with a guy who used to have a Chinese restaurant, and you used to get paid in the little boxes. You know, they would give you your food when you came in to go, whatever.
Yeah.
And I remember one week I went down about three blocks. I opened up and I expected, like, I don't know what it was, $800, $900. It was all rice. I was like, what the hell? I came back and he goes, sorry, Greek, you got the wrong one. I kid you not. I said, where the dumplings?
My mother has a furniture store. My cousin Bobby showed up at her store, I don't know, a few years ago, and he goes, hey, Auntie Tina, I'm in your business now.
Yeah.
Because he literally stands in front of the social club, and he's like, his legs are always moving and smoking cigarettes. Like, he's got a live snake in his pants.
And if you ask him what's up, they get real offended.
Yeah.
What's up? What do you mean, what's up?
Yeah, exactly.
You stand in front of a building. I just saw 17 boxes of Cutty Shark walk by you and 3 boxes of Johnny Walker Black.
You have no visible means of support.
You put on your taxes $14,500 and you own a house $895,000.
This is what happened. My uncle, his father passed away, and it's a nice house that my uncle worked really hard. He was a barber, and he moved in with his wife. He had a Mercedes, she had a Jag, she's wearing fur. Yeah. They were running numbers out of the house and they got wiretapped and they got busted. And they're like, what? What happened? It's
what
like
happened?
You have no visible means of support.
What are you
it's
doing?
It's fucking December and you have a tan. Like, what do you think's going on? So he comes to my mother's store, he goes, hey, Auntie Tina, I'm in your business now. She goes, what do you mean you're in my business? He goes, I'm selling mattresses.
Nice.
She goes, what do you know about mattresses? He goes, what's to know? I go to the junkyard. I get the old mattresses. I got a Chinese guy. He covers them for $50. I sell them for $600. Hey, nobody knows. I make a great markup. She goes,
nice.
Bobby, get out of my store. She's
like, get out of my store. I got a legit business.
She's like, get out of my store. What's the guy's number? The Chinese guy. I need him. No.
Wise guys I love. They would have $37,000 in their pocket, but they wanted giant tickets.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, you could buy Ticketron. Why do you need me?
The big wad with a rubber band.
Yeah. You peel it off. You're like, oh my God. They were making it rain in the 60s. The rappers think they invented that? No way.
They made it rain in the Dust Bowl when there was no rain.
Are you kidding me? They were making it rain in 1965, the Columbus Day Parade. The rappers go, we invented that. I said, oh, you were never down in Manhattan or Jersey on a Sunday afternoon. They made it rain. Am I right?
Yeah, God. It was like, it's just a way. And my uncle, his father loved Frank Sinatra. They did an article in the Providence Journal. My uncle Archie went for 40 straight years to Frank Sinatra concerts. Now, Frank Sinatra, to those guys, because when my uncle was like,
he was
when Justin
Lord.
Timberlake would be when he was at his prime, like to an 1819.
Yeah,
role.
My
like,
dad's
that was
got
like
a good
the guy,
friend
right?
Of
like, Frank was Frank. Not even because of the voice. He was a pop star.
He was it. He was a legend.
So my and every Saturday night, my uncle would go to the old canteen restaurant on Federal Hill with his wife, all dolled up, and they'd smoke the cigarettes and cigarettes. Like that whole, it was right out of Goodfellas, right? So Buddy Cianci, go back to him, is now becomes like Napoleon and runs the city like it's his fucking back room, right? So he's doing this deal, that deal, but he reinvigorates the city. The city tanks because all they build malls out in the suburbs, and everybody stops going to downtown Providence where all the great old stores were,
and go up
and all the bad element takes over Providence. It was a shithole. Buddy comes in, he gets federal money, puts up a convention center, reroutes the river, revitalizes thing. But he now becomes like this god, and he's selling his own marinara sauce, by the way, right? And he's got a driver. Cop drives him in a black town car everywhere. So his wife is cheating on him. So the guy, he has his driver with Buddy in the car, pick this guy up. They take him to an abandoned warehouse. Buddy himself slaps the guy around, pisses on him, puts a cigarette out on him. The guy brings charges against him. He gets convicted. He gets time served, whatever. Yeah. He's very smart, a really shrewd politician. He goes on a radio show. The attorney general then becomes mayor. Uh-huh. She's a nun that came out of... and is no longer a nun, Arlene Violet. He's on a radio station
Drop a lot of names around here.
and stays in the public consciousness, runs again, wins like in a landslide, and they interview this old Italian woman on Federal Hill. Now, Buddy's Italian, and he goes, did you vote for him? Yeah. He goes, why would you vote for the guy after he did what this guy? She goes, hey, the guy was messing around with his wife. He got what he deserved. And she walked away.
Yeah.
And that is a Trump voter, I think.
You're right.
Like, and same with
that
Hillary.
Mentality.
Same with Hillary and the emails. Like, they don't, like, once you're locked in, you're locked in.
Yeah.
But I think there's a guy out there or a woman like Trump who really is an outsider, who truly represents change, who can win without, like, nothing happens black and white, right? Like, the country's not ready. You need like foreplay. You need to play around with the guy who's going to, okay, we didn't quite get this guy in who represents change, but the next one, that's the guy you want to be without going to crazy town, though.
I think it'd be very difficult with social media today because I think everybody is so put their hand
difficult on the, to do what? To win?
To get somebody you're speaking of because everybody's so afraid of their family or what they did in the past. And you have to realize what you know. When you run for any public office, forget what they come up with.
Yeah.
And it is hard on not yourself, you're doing it, but your family and your kids. And most times it is somebody with married with children. The scrutiny they go under, it's very hard. Yeah. And I think that keeps a lot of people from wanting to get into politics.
Yeah.
I really do because I don't think personally we all make mistakes every day. Last perfect guy died on a cross.
Yeah.
Something you did when
you make
25.
Them 4 times a day.
No, I try to make them about 11. over under's 10. But I think that everybody's so worried. Like I would like to run or a guy
but
like.
But you don't think there's like a Boy Scout out there that's lived a pretty clean life?
There
See,
might,
but here's the thing.
But I don't think he can run the government knows how life really works.
But look, George Bush, when he ran against Gore, they call this October surprise, and it's happening now with Clinton. He revealed 24 years prior to that he had a drunk. He got arrested for drunk driving. Mm-hmm. It didn't end up derailing him. He won. Okay,
it happens.
But I think you know now there's enough stuff that's come out about people. Like Obama admitted that he smoked pot in a book that he wrote. Like,
who cares?
But
might hurt my political career down the road.
No, you can be. Don't worry, you can be dog catcher.
I'm like, what do you mean? I had all my money for U.S. Senate. You want to talk about the day you did a podcast with Paul Mercurio? It rings a bell.
No, they do one of those biopics on you, and it's like his lowest point was the day he did the podcast with Paul Mercurio.
Now what did he do? Did he pitch? for the Clinton. Oh, he's in the Jefferson Starship. I remember him. He's a drummer. Yeah, Jefferson Starship. I remember him. Yeah.
Would you run?
Would I run?
I could see you being.
I would legalize everything. That's what I would run because I'd be like, look, if there's a piece of pie, get it.
Yeah.
And we need money, honestly, in our schools. We need money for education.
Yeah.
We need money in so many. Our bridges are terrible.
Yeah.
everything. I mean,
also, I think it like for certain for
legal.
Drugs.
Yeah,
it'll minimize the problem because it's now legal and it's and you're not going to have the bad element. You're not going to have people killing each other over it.
Gambling,
you would legalize?
Oh, without a doubt.
Well, don't you think it's already legalized with all this online betting and this and that? And
well, it's not because the government's not getting a piece. I mean, they estimated, I think, last year. And you could hold me on these numbers. I think it was like $4 billion was in Vegas bet through the sports books. Mm-hmm. But they said worldwide, it's like $222 billion.
So why do you think we can't get people on board to legalize?
I don't know. I know a lot of states have tried. There's a lot of gambling throughout all the country now. It's not like years ago when we were growing up, it was just Vegas. You know, obviously, yeah. There's casinos all over. You know, we got the casinos down here. You know, Foxwood up in, you know, there are a lot of casinos by Atlantic City. But I would make it that you can go into a 7-Eleven and bet sports.
Yeah.
And I think that they would make a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, people do it no matter what.
Yeah.
Who's it hurting?
Yeah.
You're making money anyway.
Now, if they caught you in a scandal, how would you handle it?
I would be honest.
Yeah.
Once you're caught, you got to defuse
it's
the
cover
balloon.
Up. It's the cover
That's
up.
That's what people hate. And today you can't. They go to your text message, your phone.
Right.
It's not years ago.
Right.
You duke somebody.
Right.
Like JFK was in office.
Yeah.
Hey, if anybody asks, it wasn't three blondes.
Yeah.
It was three painters.
Yeah. I don't,
here's 200 and I'll give you a bottle of Dewars. It's not that day. It's done.
A weekend up in Hyannisport.
It's done.
I'll take it for a sale.
I give you a windbreaker with the presidential seal. Those are done.
And you get the windbreaker and the seal falls off. You tried to iron an iron-on patch.
Our country loves to catch you, but also loves to forgive you.
So why do you think that why do you think like a Hillary Clinton or a Bill Clinton or all these politicians who have something in their past and they try to hide, why do you think they go to the cover up?
Because I think what happens is they don't have the right people around them. They have people around them that are like them. I learned this years ago, you got to go to people that you are talking to.
How did you learn it? Did you have something just from living life and
just
your
living
career?
Life? I know. I mean, what it is, if you get caught, you get caught. We all make mistakes.
Right.
But when you sit there and you say, I didn't do it,
Yeah.
Come on. They're going to catch you eventually. OJ.
Yeah.
Another example.
He didn't do it.
Okay. Whatever you say. And there was one shooter on the grassy knoll. I mean, whatever you want.
It was my Uncle Mario. He owed him money.
I think if you say, I got caught, I'm wrong, it ends.
Yeah.
Because they stop kicking around.
Right.
And a lot of times when they kick something around, they find something else.
And I totally agree with you. I think Americans are forgiving people and everybody sitting in the comfort of their home, watching TV, seeing somebody admit that they did something wrong and made a mistake, can't look at themselves and say, well, I'm perfect. Everybody's
Nobody,
made a
I
mistake.
I said, last perfect person
right.
died on
okay.
a cross.
Yeah, exactly.
And
people would see you and go, oh, well, that guy's got a lot of problems.
That's all right.
They
I'm
would
alive.
They would vote for you just out of sympathy.
That's right. I don't care. I'll take any vote I can get. It's like you said, I talked to the lady last night on your show, which was a great act, by the way, and it was an act. She works at a wellness center. And you did you ever really go to a life coach?
Yes, I did.
And that is crazy because I think you have yourself together and you don't need a life coach. Call me next time. I'll save you half the money. Catch me on a bad week. I'll do it for $35. A life coach.
No, but the problem is you'd be a life coach. You'd want the money up front.
Of course. Because by the end of the phone call, you're alive. Okay, I gotta get paid.
You're good.
Groucho Marx, he sat with the owner. I remember reading this article of Paramount Pictures years ago. And the owner said, Groucho, you're a womanizer. You cause a lot of problems on the set. Women complain about you. You're a degenerate gambler. He goes, how do you feel? He said, a lesser man would be offended. That's where I see you and me. That's me, my boss talking to me. Groucho said he wanted to marry two women. And the guy said, that's bigotry. He goes, that's right, it's bigamy. That's what we need in office. A guy like Groucho. We got close. We got Trump.
So I was on a show, and this guy's a Democratic pollster, and he said, watch out for Dwayne Johnson in all seriousness.
The Rock?
Yeah, because he cuts across all lines.
Sure.
He's got a massive fan base. He's pretty clean. Like,
but why? He's got so much money. He don't need it.
Because of the Bruce Springsteen line.
Okay.
I think this drives everything, and it speaks to not just people who want power, but just generally. All men want to be rich, and rich men want to be kings. I think you become rich and famous, and then you go, okay, well, I did that.
Arnold.
And the ego, I think it's a combination of boredom, a deep well of narcissism and ego, and it just needs more and more and more. How many people do you see where you go, man, the guy's...
Doesn't he have enough?
He got enough. He's got the awards. He's got the thing. He's got the women. He's got the cars. He's got the money. Just go sit on an island in fucking the South Pacific.
Charlie Sheen and Wall Street.
You know what I mean?
When is enough enough?
Yeah. I mean, look, and I worked on Wall Street. I see these guys, and it's like... you know, guy with a corner office. He's 50. He hardly sees his kids. His kids like has. He frames his kids' finger paintings and puts them on the wall like they're out of guilt. His divorce.
But it also makes you feel good when you walk in there.
Yeah, but you know, but it's like, but you like, you go, why don't you just stop now? Like, you probably been making $10 million a year for the last 6 or 7 years. Like, how much fucking money do you need? So, I think for a guy like that, it's like, okay, well, I'm a movie star. Like you, I think you're always trying to reaffirm how good you are.
Yeah.
Like you. You do your show and then you run outside and ask people, how was my radio show? Was it good? Can I come and paint your house?
Absolutely not. I care about one thing, the register. That's all I care about. Because if you make money, they keep you. They never fire. They never shoot the cash cow.
Exactly.
I got news for you. Your show could be 87. Yeah. If you're making money, hey, what's up, buddy?
Yeah.
You could be number one. They're not selling
Lewis
your show.
Lewis Black says, you could take a shit in a bowl and put it on the air and have it run for 22 minutes. And if it gets ratings, that'll be the show every week.
That's right.
Steaming bowl of shit.
That's my whole motto with everything.
Which is how I describe your show.
Steaming bowl of shit. At least you're talking about it. Reggie Jackson, good or bad, baby.
No,
just talk about it.
The show is great if you're in the Miami area. It's WZZR. It's like you just go on and you're hanging. You don't feel like you're doing a show.
We have no agenda.
You guys are, no, and you're great. And we hit it off the first time I came on. We started busting each other's balls immediately. You thought I was a pizza delivery guy.
I thought you were bringing a pizza. No defense, but I mean, the way you were dressed. But I got to tell you, I'm the first one to compliment you. I saw you a couple times on CBS Morning.
Mm.
Beautiful suit. Who told you? Who blew you up?
You did.
I mean,
come on.
I suddenly said 3 texts that week to you, Ellen, and my bookmaker, and you were one of them.
Ellen.
Ellen, I watch your show, and I just crack up. Like, I don't know where she shops. Like, is she like in Sears?
Consignment.
That's unbelievable.
Gay consignment stores.
And she makes millions.
Yeah.
Oh my God, could her hair be any shorter? she looks like an eagle. And everybody wants to be on her show. I'm sure she's a lot of fun.
Oh,
the girl she's with is beautiful.
Oh my God. Oh. Portia DeRossi? Oh, yeah.
Man, she's hot.
Oh my God. You ever been with 2 women, 3-way?
Yes. And
how is that?
Different. I learned something a long time ago. I had 2 girls one night. I kid you not.
Don't tell them what to do.
No.
Put it over there. What are you doing?
I said to them, I need a quick break for a minute. You get a drink of water. And I was outside for 30 minutes. I was like, anytime you want, take me back in.
They locked the door.
I'm like, hey.
Hey, it's cold.
Hey, we got enough ice in here. What's going on?
I got shrinkage.
I'm like, what the hell is going on? Are you kidding me? Would they kick little Joe out of the Ponderosa? Are you kidding me? Yeah, I learned that. So I learned from that time on, I'll never take a break. Even if you got a cramp. I'm all right.
Stay close.
I'm good. I'm good. I had a girl one time at the Wynn.
Did you suggest it to them or one of them suggested to you?
No, we were just talking. Actually, it was a couple times. All nickel and dime stuff. Yeah. I mean, that's not like a big accomplishment.
Yeah.
It's like going to Statue of Liberty.
Statue of Liberty. What happened at the Wynn?
I was at the Wynn. I'm playing roulette. I'm getting crushed. 2 a.m. I'm just hoping like I walk out and I get hit by a cab. I'm praying.
Really?
And I got a great story about the Bahamas. So anyway, this girl comes up to me. Nice girl. You knew she was a pro in 2 seconds. Because they tip you. Just like, you know, casino, they know I'm in the penthouse. They, you know, she comes up. She goes, hey, having some bad luck, huh? I said, yeah. Get my ass kicked. And she goes, how would I if I change your luck? I said, what are you gonna do, spin the wheel, put gum on the bottom of the ball, put it in 17? She's looking at me, because guys like us, they don't even get where we're coming from. She goes, me and my girl come up to your room for $1,000. She goes, you have a great time. I said, I'm in. You got 200? She goes, what? I go, do you have $200? She goes, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I said, do you have $200? And the roulette guy, the guy that knows me, is laughing. And she's like, why do I need $200? I said, I get $1,200 a night. If you're $1,000, you and Cinderella, you owe me $200. I don't know where you went to school, but in my book, you owe me $200. We can make this transition happen very quickly, or you can pay me upstairs.
That's awesome.
I'll tell you this last one. I'm coming home from Atlantis, right? And it's a really bad storm. I'm with my girl. And it's bad. I mean, the pilot, and there's an older gentleman, a row in front of us with his wife. They're in their 70s. And I could see he's sweating so bad. And they came over to him, and they felt like he was going to have a heart attack. So my girl at the time Lisa looks at me. She goes, gee, do something. What am I going to do? She was trying to make him laugh and look at him. And he was looking at me. And you know, when you sit in the seat, you look back, you see the person. Mm. So he's looking back and I'm here and she's behind him.
In between. You can see in between the two seats.
Yeah, so I'm looking at him. So I got up and I went over to him. I said, hey, you okay? And he's like, I'm really not feeling good. I said, let me tell you something. I go, what are you worried about? He goes, I think we're going to crash. I said, let me tell you something. I owe American Express 22.5. I just lost 9,000 at Atlantis and I owe my bookmaker 31,000. This plane ain't going down. I said, I kid you not. We could have the German Shepherd could be flying the plane and it's going to land.
Did he laugh?
He started cracking up about an hour, 45 minutes later. Said, welcome to Miami, Florida. I like that. I said, hey, buddy, buddy.
That's awesome.
What'd I tell you? It was great. His wife thanked me. Wrong. I just, oh, thanks so much. You made Harold laugh. I said, I wish I was kidding.
You're like, you got 31K?
American Express had two guys with windbreakers waiting for me by escalator.
You should have said, then what's your life worth? Because I need 22.5 for Amex.
It was so bad. He was like, oh my God. You just saw his face. They had like the thing, he was sweating. And my girl, like I said, she's like, gee, make him laugh, do something. And I went,
that's why you'd be a good like life coach or therapist, because you'd put it in that context.
Oh, my dad was in a hospital. He used to tell me to go around to the rooms and make people laugh.
Yeah.
He goes, cheer him up a little.
Yeah.
Like this guy, I find this hard to believe, but it's true. He was a very nice gentleman. I used to go see my father 3 times a day. I used to go in the morning, 6 o'clock.
Oh, he's in the hospital.
Yeah. He was in long at the end. I used to go 6 o'clock in the morning. I used to bring him a New York Post and coffee from Dunkin' Donuts that I had to sneak in because you couldn't bring coffee and a little Kreller bun.
Yeah.
Then I would go after my show. Then I would go at night. And if I didn't go all 3 times, he was mad.
Yeah.
So this guy was with my dad and they became friends. And he was like, you know, my kids haven't come for 3 weeks. He goes, you know, he goes, I see you around your dad. And he goes, you know, it's just something. Your dad did something right. Mm. I said, yeah, and he did something wrong. Came home that night. So there was one night, there was a game on, and it was a football game. So I went to the guy. I said, hey, you want to come in our room? And he goes, really? I said, yeah. He was by himself. He had something with his gallbladder. He was in the hospital. And you just feel bad. You know, the guy's all by himself.
Yeah.
You walk by, you see them, they lean up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like to see if somebody's there. So he came in with us. He watched the game and, you know, I'm yelling. So I end up bringing my dad a veal cutlet sandwich. And my dad hates mayonnaise. So he opens the sandwich. He goes, Jesus Christ, mayonnaise. You know, I don't like mayonnaise. And this guy's like looking at us like, oh, my God. Then all of a sudden, a quarterback gets picked off. I'm cursing. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, the guy gets up and goes, I think I'll go back to my room. I said, where are you going? Nobody's in your room. This is great.
He goes, I'd rather die alone than be around you two guys. That's awesome.
It was awesome. I said, I got a mark on slippers if you want. but your show's great. Like I said, I love your entertainment.
And you're great. And the shit coming on, it's like, it's just phenomenal.
I don't know what
I wish we lived
life.
Closer together, but we got to come up. We're going to do something together.
Hey, you write a check. I'm your bitch. I'll move to Canarsie tomorrow. I leave at 4 o'clock. I tell my boss that all the time. He goes, Greg, one thing I like about you is loyal. You've been here for years. I said, dude, don't kid yourself. I die more. I'm gone.
I'll do a show from a cruise ship the rest
of
my life.
Me? I try to get a job in Singapore, morning radio. I'd be like Robin Williams in Good Morning Vietnam. You want something different, we got it.
Oh, yeah, you're the best. All right, so on Twitter, @Greek.
Yeah, Greek, yeah. I'm not a big, I get paid to tweet.
Yeah, I got it.
And I don't tweet big.
WZZR, just the funniest guy, just hilarious, nice guy, sweet guy. Always asks for money, but you're going to have to deal with that if you're going to hang out with the guy.
Hey, caviar's not cheap.
Thanks for being on the show, buddy.
Yo, it's appreciated. It's my,
you're the
really,
best,
I hope
man.
We can work something out together.
Yeah,
even
absolutely.
If it's a moving company. Or Italian ice, something.
All right, man. Love you. You're the best.
Peace.
All right. That was Greek. Can't really describe that guy. You got to just experience him. Funny as hell. Great guy. Please come check me out December 15th to the 18th this coming weekend at the Omaha Funny Bone. Go to omahafunnybone.com and get your tickets. Use the discount code Paul and you get some little loving on that. So enjoy your week. I hope you can make it if anyone's near the Omaha Funny Bone. And we'll talk to you next week.